Hello, and welcome to Mr. Marr's History Podcast. Google Mr. Marr History to get more help with Nationals Higher and Advanced Higher History. In today's podcast, we will discuss events at the Battle of Bannockburn, including the reasons for one of Scotland's most famous victories. Having ended the Scottish Civil War, King Robert the Bruce had been gradually winning back control of castles across Scotland from the English. The next castle, and in many ways one of the most important that was due to be won, was Stirling. The Scottish army laid siege to Stirling Castle, and the castle's governor, Sir Philip Mowbray, had agreed that he would hand over control of the castle to Bruce by Midsummer Day of 1314, unless an English army was sent north. Edward II, under pressure from his nobles to stop the rebellion, thus led an army north. There is a significant historical debate about the size of both armies at Bannockburn. It is certainly the case that the English army was much larger than the Scots, however, the exact numbers are not entirely clear. Modern estimates suggest that the English had around 2,000 mounted knights and 15,000 foot soldiers. Some of the English army was made up of foreign mercenaries, as many English barons had only sent the minimum number of men required, or had instead paid scutage, which was shield tax instead. Many of the English army, up to 3,000, were archers, especially those forces provided from Wales by Sir Roger Mortimer. Overall, the English army at Bannockburn was smaller than Edward II had hoped for, although still much bigger than Bruce's forces. England's army was split into three sections, known as battles. There was the vanguard, the mudguard, and the rearguard. The army was organised by the Constable of England, at this point the Earl of Hereford, and King Edward II simply took part as a knight, not the commander, but this led to huge confusion by giving different directions and by appointing conflicting leaders. The Scottish army is believed to have been around 5,000 men in size, roughly one-third of the size of England's. This, however, was a professional army and likely the biggest that Scotland could afford to have. The Scots army was divided into squadrons of roughly 1,500 men each. Most of the Scottish army fought on foot, often using the pike. Farming tools were also commonly used. The Scots had a small number of archers, generally using short bows rather than long bows, and there were also a few hundred knights on horseback who may dismount at times to fight. Bruce had chosen the battle site on which the Scots would fight, and as a result, the Scots had trained on the field for weeks beforehand, and they had also set traps, such as pits. Although Bruce was in overall command of the Scottish army, the squadrons were led by three men. Bruce himself led one, whilst Edward Bruce and Thomas Randolph commanded the others. The fighting at Bannockburn took place across 2 days, the 23rd to the 24th of June, 1314. Bruce used a nearby wooded hill to shelter his men and hide their numbers prior to battle. They also dug pots, which were small uneven holes, either as traps or to force the English to take a certain direction when approaching. It's not clear if either side had planned to fight on the first day. Bruce certainly wanted to know much more about the size of the English army. The English army itself was very disorganised. A small force of around 300 knights led by the Earl of Hereford went to scout the Scottish army. However, the scout force came across Robert the Bruce. One English knight, Henry de Bowen, saw a chance to end the battle before it had even started by killing Bruce. De Bowen charged at the unprepared Bruce, who calmly sat on his horse, evaded the attack and crushed de Bowen's skull with his battle axe. Another English scout group, led by Sir Robert Clifford, also met a Scottish squadron after avoiding the pots and thus crossing soft marshland. They tried to attack, but they were forced back by the squadron's pikes. The English retreated, either back to their camp or to Stirling Castle. Morale was very different in both camps. At the end of the first day, the Scots were celebrating. Bruce's killing of de Bowen had inspired many of them, and also the fact that the Clifford's forces had been repelled. On the other hand, the English were extremely tired from their march and also dismayed at the two failures. Many English soldiers had assumed that this would be an easy victory. King Robert was unsure of his plans for the following day. However, a Scottish knight, Alexander de Seton, defected from Edward's army to join the Scots. When Bruce was told of the English army's poor morale and organisation, he decided to attack the following day. Overnight, King Edward II made a disastrous decision. He decided to move the English camp, which would in theory allow for an attack from a different position the next day. The decision to move the camp meant that the English army were given even less rest, which further hurt morale. The following day, the Scottish army took up their positions. Before the battle, they knelt in prayer before the Bishop of Arbroath. King Edward is said to have believed that this was in fact the Scots surrendering and asking for his forgiveness. The English also prepared to fight. However, their new position meant that they could not easily use their archers for fear of hitting their own men. And as the Scottish Chiltrons advanced, the English knights and army charged. However, the boggy ground made it difficult for their horses. The English could not break through the Scottish Chiltrons, but the Scots' movement did mean that they were now exposed to English archers. However, just as the firing started, causing major casualties for the Scots, Bruce signalled for a Scottish reserve force on Coxet Hill, known as the Smafolk, to attack the English archers. It was now clear that the Scots were going to win. The English army panicked and retreated. Many English soldiers drowned in the Bannockburn. Edward himself escaped and sought shelter in Stirling Castle but was refused. He eventually made it back to England via Dunbar Castle. Many soldiers from both sides died, but the English army suffered the most. Contemporary accounts, including from the Lanarkhost Chronicle and Scala Chronica, speak of thousands of foot soldiers dying, along with many mounted knights, which was particularly unusual for the time. The Scots' victory can be put down to Bruce's skills. He chose the battle site and helped the Scots train on it beforehand, and in doing so, he forced the English to fight on difficult ground. In addition, his reserve force that attacked when needed made the English army believe that the Scots were much larger and undermined their attempts to attack the Scots. However, it is also possible to blame Edward II for English defeat. For one thing, they had very poor leadership and were extremely disorganised, particularly given the decision to have Edward simply as a knight in the battle rather than a direct commander, but still have him giving contradictory orders. Equally, the English attacked Chiltrons without the support of their archers. And perhaps most significantly, English morale was extremely low, not only due to the long march, but also made worse by the overnight move